Welcome back in. Chris and Cowboy with you on a Friday afternoon as we put the finishing touches on the show. It's the 610 Sports Roundtable brought to you by Zarda Barbecue. Two convenient locations in Blue Springs, Missouri and Lenexa, Kansas to serve you Zarda's famous barbecue. It's become a Kansas City tradition, whether it's for tonight's dinner, an office picnic, a big family gathering, or an important business meeting. Zarda Barbecue is a Kansas City tradition. And we're joined in studio by Mark Collins, two-time Super Bowl champ with the Giants and a former Kansas City Chief as well. And Paul Marshall, 98.9 The Rock, a big Raider fan as we sit here on Raider Week.
I got to ask Mark a question. How long is it, like with being in high school, when you get your high school ring, you wear it for a couple of months and you put it away in the drawer. How long do you wear your Super Bowl championship ring, and why aren't you wearing it now? Like, when do you put that away?
You know, I put mine away when I was, I think 31, 32, when I turned 31, 32.
Why?
When you first get it, when I got my first one at 21, 22, it was cool because it gets you in a lot of places, and, you know, you get the chicks, you get all the free stuff. Then you get your second one. I got my second one when I was 25, 26. I wore both of them. But as I got older, I became, that's the guy with the two rings. I always wore them. I didn't want that. And then you start, back in those days, a lot of the players were getting robbed. I lived in California and had a place in New York. A lot of players were getting robbed for their jewelry and stuff like that. So I just put it away because a lot of people knew who I was. I didn't need to flash my bling to tell who I was.
Do you ever wear them now?
No, I don't.
Were they? Are they like in a safety deposit box somewhere?
I wore my college ring more than my Super Bowl ring.
See, that was one of the things I always had a problem with Carl Peterson. When you would see those pictures of Carl Peterson, you see him on the sideline, he had that big Eagles championship ring on his hand. And you're in Kansas City now. And one of the things that happened in Oakland is Terrence Shaw won a Super Bowl with the Patriots and then got signed with the Raiders the next year. And we saw the ring in the parking lot. We're like, no. That was then. This is now. Which is why I asked that question. If you wear that ring around a new team, you go to a new team, is that considered disrespectful?
Well, when I came to Kansas City, I wore it then. And I wore it to try to motivate the players in the locker room. Which, you know, Marcus was here already. Joe Montana was here already.
So they're not impressed by you.
Well, yeah. And that's okay. I wore it, try to, wear it. But after a while, you go, you know what? Wore that one time, put in a safety deposit box, and that was it.
All right. You mentioned something before the break about listening to what people in the media say, to what fans. And I don't know. I mean, I know when you were playing, sports talk wasn't as big as it is today. But
not in Kansas City.
Not
was
in
it?
Kansas City.
In New York
City,
it was. But.
Yeah. But I mean, did you guys listen to the radio, read the papers? I mean, know everything that was being said about it? Because everybody always says, I don't pay attention to that stuff. I don't listen. I don't read. But I've always had a tough time believing that. I mean, you yourself, did you pay attention to it? And how many of your teammates and coaches do you think did?
We pay attention to everything, whether it's good or bad. At least I did. And I know some of the guys I played with did also. We read the press clippings. We hear what everybody says, and we kind of filter out the bad stuff, but we retain the good stuff. Now, that's just how it is. And if any player tells you, I don't listen to it, they're lying to you. They are lying. We all listen, but because we need to feel the appreciation of doing something well or the backlash of doing something wrong. We need to hear that.
But if you're coming off of a 2-14 season and you're a team that just lost your opening game, are you still going
to
listen then, or do you know it's going to all be negative?
You have to listen because it makes you better. It makes you better.
It can fuel you?
Oh, yeah, because I tell you what, when I was in New York and I got beat for a touchdown and we lost to the Rams, and I got a lot of negative stuff from the press and fans, it made me come back stronger to shut everybody up, to have a great year so we could go on to win a championship. And we did it. Now, I'm not saying because of me, but I upped my game because of that.
You know, I think it's interesting you bring that up because we were in the clubhouse with the Royals earlier this year, and Mike Jacobs approached us and was like, what's up with you guys talking trash on us? What's up with you saying that, you know, we're not any good? And all of a sudden, I think you and I looked at each other like, okay, now he's paying attention. And that's why we go in there, because we want to put our face in front of these guys. If they've got something to say, you had a bad game last night. What's the deal with this? But the Chiefs now have kind of taken on a different approach. And Todd Haley made comments yesterday, or was it Wednesday, about an article that was written in the paper to the writer that was there in the room, and he called it a cute article. That's a cute write-up you had. Well, at training camp, we found out that Scott Pioli, and I guess now Todd Haley, gets a packet put on his desk every day, and it's everything written or blogged about his team.
That is a Bill Parcells trait. That's what Bill always did. He would take every – he had somebody I forget the guy's name. But anyway, he would have from every newspaper, the Post, the Times, everybody, yeah. The Bergen Record, from Connecticut all the way down to South Jersey, and every radio clipping that somebody said, he had that on his desk. And we would get – all of a sudden there's we had a little cork board up there with the article up there, and Bill would use that for motivation.
Well, if you don't think the players are listening, just look at how many of these guys are Twittering right now. Yeah. I mean, those guys, that's their way to respond to the critiques that have been happening right now. You know, I mean, let's face it, Chad Johnson's got his own internet video show. Mm-hmm. Those guys are listening, and now because of Twitter, because of Facebook, because of all these social networking sites, those players are able to respond, and a lot of teams have put down doctrines that say you are not to discuss team affairs on your Facebook page or on your Twitter page or all that. So they are hearing, not only are they hearing, they're responding yeah. first person, mm-hmm. which I think is a great thing. I think that closes the gap between fan, critic, and player. And it makes them more real. You know, when that thing happened in Buffalo earlier this week and you started to see some of those other players going, look, you know, we're going to be concerned for our safety. If you come to my house, you better be prepared. I mean, those guys, the players are now hearing everything and responding in real time. So it's interesting. It's gone beyond the message board or the cork board, and it's now become to interactive, you know, through your telephone and through media.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and Chris, you mentioned, you know, Pioli gets, you know, something every day, and you talked about Bill Parcells got something every day and bulletin board material. Stuff like that, does it really work? I mean, it might fire you up a little bit beforehand, but once the game starts, you're not thinking about something, you know, Joe Flacco might have said, or, you know, back in your day, you're not thinking of something, you know, Troy Aikman said or anything like that. I mean, you're not worried about that kind of stuff once the game starts, or are you? Does that stuff stick with you?
Yes, it does.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if I were a baseball player and we're playing a team and the pitcher's going, you know what, I'm going to throw a no-hitter against those guys. You think that won't affect me? I'm playing against this guy. You can tell me I throw a no-hitter? The hell you will.
But once the game starts, beforehand you might be thinking that. But once the game starts, I mean, once you're between the lines, doesn't it just come down to being able to be more talented and better than that other guy?
Haven't you heard some of those guys get mic'd up in those games?
Oh,
and you'll hear a guy get hit, and you'll hear Ray Lewis will recite the exact quote back to them. I think sometimes that does happen.
It happens when I played. It'll happen now. When a player says something about your team, about you, you're going to make sure – it's not going to happen to me. Not on my watch. Not today. Take that stuff somewhere else. And then when the game is over or you get a good hit on somebody, you're going to say exactly what that guy said about you. No, baby, not today. Uh-uh. Take that stuff somewhere else. Now go tell that to the other team. Not here. And that's what we do. That's what you do.
Can the media help?
No, Dwayne Bowe this week, just to interrupt, said that Jamarcus Russell's not a leader. He needs to be a better leader. He's told him that.
And that was his quarterback.
And that was his quarterback at LSU.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that was nice.
That
alumni meeting is going to be kick ass. I want to be there with that. He better bring Dorsey and Jackson with him. Because he may not be a leader, but he is a horse. He's 6'6 and 275. I think that would be a fun little scrimmage I'd like to see take part.
Does that work?
That won't work.
Okay.
You know, that's...
Because they know each other.
Yeah, they know each other. That's different. Now, if Bo would have said...
Oh, by the way, he's right. let's just say that. Yeah. He's right.
He knows the guy better than anybody else on the Chiefs, so yeah. He knows. That's not bulletin board material or Twitter material or Facebook material. That's just...
Now, Chad Johnson or Chad Ochocinco twittering that he's going to come across the middle and take Nick Barnett's head off.
Then that's a whole different
story. I'm guessing not just Nick Barnett, the whole defense is going to
rise to the occasion.
Ochocinco out.
Absolutely. Now, that's blown up and I think put on the board.
Yeah.
I have that written on my arm. That's
you put that on your shoes. You know.
Let him read these Nikes.
Then you get a nice $25,000 fine.
You know, but it might be worth it at that point. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's one of those things where, and like Ochocinco cares about how much he's paying $12 for fake diamond earrings so that he can have that money to pay those fines.
That's true. This is true. All right. Before we're almost out of time, guys, but I did want to get the thoughts because I know it ate you up on Monday night, Paul, and it eats me up all the time when I see this happening. A team has played a good game. They're physical. They're punching you in the mouth, and that's what Oakland was doing to San Diego all night. Phillip Rivers was flustered. They weren't getting anything going. And then in the fourth quarter, they back off, and they go to the prevent defense. You were a guy that would have been a key part of prevent defenses, Mark, dropping way back as opposed to, you know, playing up on the guys and playing up close to the line of scrimmage. Why do coaches continue to do the prevent if what they've been doing has worked for, you know, 50 minutes of a game?
I don't know, which is dumb why some coaches do that. We didn't do it. We very rarely did that in New York with the Giants. We've only done that in New York. You know, we got a 2-touchdown lead or something like that. And yeah, you drop everybody off and let the clock
run. Yeah, but if it's a 1-score game and they're driving for the winning
score, there's no need to go to a prevent defense. That I don't understand that. Some coaches do it. You saw that last Monday night. And I still don't get it.
As a player, did it piss you off? If you guys, the few times that you might have done it, we're like, why are we doing this? We're better than them. We've shown it all game. We're better than them. Why are we suddenly going to start giving them 8, 9, 10, 12 yards every time?
We very rarely did it, even with the Chiefs. We did it one time against the Houston Oilers. We played here, and we won the game because of a great hit by Doug Terry, and I got the fumble ran for a touchdown. But we went to a defensive mindset. And they down the field scored a touchdown. I was going, what the hell are you doing? Gunther Cunningham was our coordinator. Gunther, what are you doing? He goes, that'll never happen again. And Gunther's always been aggressive. When I was with the Giants, we played the Philadelphia Eagles. We didn't do that prevent stuff because we're good. I got beat for a touchdown by Chris Carter in man coverage. Great throw, great catch. We lost the game. I'd rather lose that way.
Go out on your shield.
I'd rather lose that way than having a team nickel and dime and being soft. It's like a baseball player, a pitcher. If I'm going to go down, my best pitch is a fastball. I'm throwing a fastball. I don't care if you know it's coming, but it's my best against your best.
Can you check off as a defensive captain or a defensive – like if you're in and you see an adjustment on the offense, maybe they go into a different formation, and you've got a prevent defense called, do you guys have the flexibility?
No.
Did you? You don't have the flexibility to check off on that?
Nope.
Wow. So see, either, that hurts.
Don't just tell you. I mean, that's your boss.
That hurts.
I've been fortunate to have some defensive coordinators who very rarely did it, and we have the talent to go man up and do that kind of stuff, then going to prevent.
That's the worst thing. I saw it happening. I mean, Nick was talking about Thomas Howard and Kirk Morrison. They're serviceable linebackers.
They're good linebackers.
Yeah. They're not great elite linebackers, but they're good linebackers. And with that defensive line in front of them, they look good. Watching them drop into umbrella coverage, 7-8 yards off the ball, and letting Darren Sproles have 8 yards, 8 yards, 8 yards, 8 yards, then making the tackle, 2 yards past the first down line, it was unbelievable. It was nerve-wracking. I wanted to punch my television.
And guess what?
Watching it happen, because all day they were hammering those guys on the offensive side. They were aggressive. They were making the tackles. They were doing all the things that it takes to win. And to watch that umbrella coverage was pathetic and weak. And they deserve to lose the football game when they do that.
Because you get in the red zone, and guess what? You can't play the prevent anymore.
No, you can't.
You got to go back to what was working.
And you're not in that mindset. And you cool off, right?
Yeah.
You cool off. Because if you don't have that physical contact, and you're backing off and backing off and backing off.
You're giving them yards.
Yeah.
You don't want to give anybody yards on defense. Yeah,
and they weren't most of the night.
Yes, I'm like, you got to be kidding. What are they doing? And as soon as the team goes into this prevent defense, and I know the team who does that will lose.
So let me get to the other side of that. Maybe you're the offensive coordinator. The philosophy last year was score 21 and hope they don't score 24. That's the same idea, isn't it? The offensive guys that let up. The Patriots got criticized a couple of years ago for putting Tom Brady back in the fourth quarter when they were up 48-21. But you know what? Isn't the defense's job to stop you from scoring? Why not run up the score? Why this conservative offense, conservative defense thing, all that does is lose you football games in the long run.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. Guys, we could sit here and talk football all day. Real quick before we let you guys go, Mark, Chiefs or the Raiders this week?
I would say the Raiders. The score will be 3-2.
Paul, do we even have to ask?
I'm going to be realistically 27-13 Raiders.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Paul Marshall, 98.9 The Rock. Mark Collins, 2-time Super Bowl champ, former Chief as well. Guys, thanks so much for joining us here for the roundtable. We appreciate it.
All righty then.
Go Raiders.
All right. Time now for the email of the day.